What do? We spend so much time on these samsaric activities, and then when it comes to practice, we practice for half an hour or an hour. Do you really think that this is sufficient? By doing this, do we really think that we are going to attain enlightenment? If we really think about it, is there any Dharma as auspicious enabling us to attain enlightenment in this life? Within the Nyingma, there might be very many auspicious practices. The question is, will we be able to realize them in practice? Many of them we won't be able to realize. Many of them require a long time of study and then a long time of practice. And as it requires so much time, is this something we will be able to complete and realize in this life? According to our current situation, our current age, will we be able to realize these practices? And so it is as Atisha said, the Dharma that you won't be able to complete, that you won't be able to practice, don't waste your time on this. The Dharma that you are able to apply, that you are able to practice, this you should practice well. And I think what he says to say is very reasonable, very helpful. Have a look for yourself, according to your current age and status, in terms of your practice, the Dharma that you're practicing. Will you be able to finish it? Will you be able to practice it? And if we are able to, then go and practice it. And if there's these great perfection pith instructions, maybe 30 or 40 of them, will we be able to finish practicing them? I think for sure, certainly we will be able to. Within 4 or 5 years, it's possible that we could have finished requesting and practicing these pith instructions. Maybe we are very busy, and we take 30 minutes or an hour to be able to practice these pith instructions. This we can do. However, if we want to take 3 or 4 hours to study and to practice some Dharma, will we be able to achieve this? It's probably unlikely. Maybe it's possible today, but not tomorrow. Maybe it's possible tomorrow, but not the next day. And then maybe we do this for a few days, and then we don't practice for a month. And then we think, oh yes, renunciation comes to mind again. And we practice or we study for the next few days, and then for a long time we don't practice again. However, if we have these essential pith instructions, at any time we can practice, and it's very practical, it's easy to practice. And this is what is so advantageous for those people with the pith instructions. It doesn't matter where you go, you've got some Dharma you can practice. And to do this, we don't have to take our phone with us, we don't have to take a Dharma book with us. Wherever we go, we've got some Dharma we can practice. And at any time I can practice. Why? Because this Dharma has already been absorbed into my mind. And we have something reliable that we can practice. You might think, oh, this person doesn't have a Dharma book. What do they have to practice? What we're taking with us, what we have with us, are the pith instructions given to us by our Vajra Guru. We don't have to carry a textbook with us, a mala or a rosary. We have the pith instructions which can go with us everywhere. What is within our mind are the pith instructions given to us by our Vajra Guru. Then, no matter where my body is, I will be able to practice. Because the pith instructions are within my mind, whenever I want, I can practice. I really don't need anything else. Wherever I am, at any time, those pith instructions given to me by my Guru, I can practice them. It can be wisdom emptiness, it can be the inseparability of clarity and emptiness, it can be Rigpa. Wherever I am, I can practice. It can be renunciation, it can be bodhicitta, it can be compassion. All of them are in my mind. Then wherever my mind is, all of the theories, all of the Buddhism are here and able to be practiced. They are present. However, if we don't have this, then we can only rely on our ears to listen to the teachings, our eyes to see the Dharma and study, and then eventually when it comes to practice, they don't know how to practice. So they're not able to practice. When you have the pith instructions, you can practice in the monastery, you can practice in the city, you can practice anywhere. Why? Because within our minds we have the pith instructions. If right there and then where I am, I want to practice compassion, I can. If I want to practice bodhicitta, I can. Every moment, the possibility is there to practice. However, without the pith instructions, how are we going to know how to practice. We don't know how to practice. Who are we going to rely on to show us how to practice? However, when we have the pith instructions, we have support, we have something to rely on. We can practice any time. How come was it that during the Cultural Revolution that so many practitioners were able to attain realization? When they went into the jails, they weren't able to take anything with them. They weren't able to take textbooks. The only thing that they were able to take with them was their body. Yet still, because they had the instructions of their Vajra Guru, they were able to practice. Those pith instructions were like the sun within their heart, and they had these rays of the blessing of their guru. Every day they could practice. It didn't matter what conditions they had, what difficulties they were experiencing. Every moment, every day, they had the possibility to practice. This is how all of the past great gurus attained realization. They practiced very diligently. They didn't have much. They didn't have many favorable conditions. Why is it that they were still able to practice in such difficult conditions? Because what they needed, the pith instructions from their guru, they had received. As long as they had life, they were able to practice. This is what is important about practice. This is what makes it so great, so incredible. It's energy, it's ability. If we didn't have the pith instructions, we go on to going to retreat. What do we do? Do we need all of those textbooks? And what do? When we go to the cave or we go on our retreat, we have to carry all of these textbooks up with us to the retreat. And then we have to study them and read them. Is this of no merit? Of course it's of merit. However, the realizations are not coming from external sources. They come from the merits of within our own mind, of our own practice. Practicing with great patience and forbearance, with unmoving belief towards one's guru. They really don't have much theory, however, they have this great belief, and through this, all of the blessings of the lineage they can achieve. They have this incredibly fast, great compassion and bodhicitta towards sentient beings. They don't need all of these extra external items to practice. Evaluate for yourself. What do I need? What do I want to practice, and what will I be able to achieve? If we want to, we can study and learn and do philosophy for our whole life. Of course we can do that. However, the result of this is that we won't attain enlightenment through this. What does Buddha say? Study, reflect, and practice. Eventually we must practice. If we don't practice, we will never attain the state of realization in this lifetime, and we will never really understand the great merit achieved through realization. Is the realization of great perfection profound? Of course, great perfection is very profound. Are we able to attain this profound realization? Of course we can realize it. It just depends on how we practice. It depends on how you follow your Vajra Guru. It depends on how your Vajra Guru teaches you. And how we combine these. And then once combining these two, it also depends on how the student practices. And this will also determine the result. And the results can be very, very different. And then once we understand this, then we must understand how to practice. And then gradually through practicing this, we can get to recognize our true nature of mind. And our mind has three layers. The first is that we have these afflictions, and they can be quite gross. The second is that our afflictions and our conceptual thoughts, our conceptuality is very subtle, even although our mind might be in a state of equanimity. And these subtle discriminations are continuous. We still have these thoughts, however, we don't notice them. And then the third layer is when we transcend this, when we pass through this. The first layer is gross afflictions. The second layer are these subtle discursive discriminations. And then the third layer is this profound layer that passes through this, and we continue practicing in this layer. It is like the ocean. On the surface are all of these waves. However, this all disappears the deeper and deeper we go into the ocean. The layers of our mind is that we have this very coarse layer of mind with many of the afflictions. Then we have this more subtle discursive layer, which has equanimity, and then we pass through this into this very profound equanimity. And any one of us can attain enlightenment in this way. It just depends on how we practice. It is very useful to have this idea of what is expected and how to go about our practices. Understand what great perfection is, what is auspicious about the great perfection before practicing. Understand what great perfection is, what is auspicious about great perfection. What is so special about the Pith instructions? Why is it that through the great perfection we can attain enlightenment? What do Pith instructions include? Understand the benefits and the merits of practicing the great perfection. And when we're doing this, when we start to practice, our belief is much greater. The merit is different. The way we cherish our practice is different. Oh, this Dharma really has no problems. The only problem is whether I practice properly or not. And if I practice properly, then I can attain enlightenment. And then through this, our belief in the Dharma increases. And we notice, or we realize that, oh, for this lineage to continue, we need the Vajraguru. And we need to get the Pith instructions from the Vajraguru. And then through this, with this belief, we practice. And step by step, we improve. We cut through these afflictions. Then we cut through, and also we cut through these subtle discriminations. And in the process of doing this, then we really give rise to greater and greater belief in our Vajraguru. If we haven't received the Dharma and we're not practicing the Dharma, then certainly our belief in the Guru will not be real. People say pray, we pray. People say prostrate, we prostrate. Practicing blindly. The end result is that we waste our time and we waste our precious life. On the other hand, by receiving the Dharma, practicing ourselves, starting to see result, we become more and more clear, and then we really see, oh, now I really have belief in the Vajraguru. And this belief naturally arises. It is very important that we practice, then the belief starts to arise. Otherwise, we are just following like some kind of wealth god, and then all that happens is we get confused. Through receiving the Dharma from our Vajraguru and then practicing it step by step and improving. And through this, our state of realization improves, and then very naturally, we just have this additional belief, this more firm belief, unmoving belief in our Guru. All of the practitioners don't place too much emphasis on these superficial things. These superficial things will not benefit us for a long time. Rather, we must definitely practice the true Dharma. And then, with respect to our negative habits, our afflictions, our discriminations, our strong negative karma, we will be very clear about. Through this, we will really know the merit of the Dharma, the blessing of the Dharma, the benevolence of the Vajraguru, and this will naturally arise. Because we ourselves are experiencing the benefit of the practice, and through this, we will never forget the great benevolence of our Guru. This is why we must keep on following our Vajraguru. Look at the instance of His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche. He stayed by the side of his Guru, His Holiness Trulga Arik, for 44 years practicing. Why? Because through practice, day by day, we start to see the improvement, the benefit of the practice, and day by day, we reduce these afflictive emotions. And this is of great benefit to the practitioner. And day by day, the practitioner's compassion is growing, their bodhicitta is growing, and everything they are engaging in then is for the benefit of others. And then they really see, oh, the benefit of practice, that they have this opportunity to benefit so many sentient beings and be continuously increasing their merit. And through doing this gradually, we are improving, increasing the compassion and the wisdom, as mentioned by our Vajraguru. And then through this, just naturally, the realizations of wisdom emptiness will start to manifest. We must continuously study, reflect, and apply it in practice. And then in this way, all merits will be perfect. I rejoice and praise everybody.
Yamati do kondai yasura jingang chuk.